Good morning, everyone, and welcome. We're going to get started, so if we can all just take our seats, grab your pens. Wonderful to see you all here this morning. Thank you for joining us. I'm Julie Watson, a customer care manager at Rackspace, and I'll be your MC for this morning. In my role at Rackspace, I'm responsible for leading a team delivering fanatical service delivery to our customers. And in doing so, I'm supporting our future people and thought leaders in their career development. This means I'm personally thrilled to be here today to support the advancement of women leaders across this community. Rackspace provides multi-cloud solutions to today's businesses, and we do it by delivering our famous fanatical support. We know that in order to be successful, it's critical to build an environment which is diverse and inclusive and which is committed to the development and the well-being of our people. Honouring that, we at Rackspace are very proud to be sponsors of the Texas Conference for Women. The Conference for Women offers a blend of practical tools and advice, inspiration and peer networking. Through a mix of sessions, the conference is committed to your empowerment, to inspire you to make a mark in and for your companies, your careers and your communities. Thank you for participating in the breakout session, Draw Your Big Idea, the ultimate creativity tool for turning thoughts into action. We have quite an hour for you. Now, first of all, I have a confession. I won't lie to you. Visual creativity, drawing, it's not in my personal comfort zone. And in fact, it's fair to say that my preschoolers probably draw better than me. So, I'm very intrigued to hear today's message and learn how even a non-artist such as myself can use visual techniques to transform my creative process and turn ideas into reality. Now, I'm very excited to introduce Heather Willems, co-founder of ImageThink and co-author of Draw Your Big Idea. Heather has been helping the world's leading thought leaders and companies for over a decade to create breakthroughs and ideas using her unique visual techniques. Having worked with such an impressive list of companies and featured on forums such as TED, The Today Show, MSNBC, Forbes, Mashable, and The Wall Street Journal, I'm super excited to hear and to see Heather's message firsthand and to learn how we can all apply her technique to turn thoughts into actions, to beat our creative blocks, and to make a difference in our own lives. So please, can we put our hands together for Heather Willems?
8 in the book, but we're going to tap into a few of them today, and from that you're going to learn and you're going to actually see and demonstrate for yourselves that drawing is a powerful problem-solving tool, and it really going to focus on the creating, communicating, and activating your ideas that you have. So does that sound good to everybody? You're in the right place? Okay, great. We are very fortunate to have Derek here with us today. Derek is going to be demonstrating graphic recording. It's one of the services that we provide at ImageThink. And so throughout the entire conversation, he's going to be listening to what we're all saying. He's going to be synthesizing those thoughts into key ideas and then drawing them up in words and pictures. So you'll get to see this conversation come to life. And so if at any point you drift off or you get a little distracted, just know that you can refer back up to the board because Derek's capturing all of the content. And not only will it help you keep engaged and focused, but then when you look at the photograph or you get a photograph of this afterwards, you're going to remember about 30% more information than if you didn't have it here at all. So at the end of the talk, towards the end, I'll give you a way that you can get a copy of the board. So, like I said, I believe that everybody is creative. And with that, I also believe that everyone can draw. Did that raise anybody's anxiety a little bit in here? Trust me, everybody can draw. And with that, I also believe that everybody has a problem that they can draw upon. So, seeing that this is a workshop, I think that we should all think about a professional challenge or a problem that we have that we want to solve. And so we're going to bring it through, in the next 45 minutes, we're going to bring it through the model of the create, communicate, and activate that idea. So you all had a piece of paper on your seat. So what I'm going to invite you to do right now, and also if anybody needs pens, there's some up at the front of the stage and at the back, so come on up if you don't have them. But take that piece of paper and just divide it into quadrants. So fold it halfway, and then fold it lengthwise too. So you'll have four different sections. You don't have to draw it up this way, but I just had it as a demonstration here. So it can look a little bit something like that. And then you're also going to use the back side of it too. So we'll be very efficient with our not wasting trees. So anyway, so back to the problem. So let's think about a creative challenge that you have, and I'm going to have you write it down. You can write it down in one of the first quadrants. And it can be, make it something that's personal, something that's meaningful to you. So it could be something that's happening at work, like you need to hire a new salesperson, or you need to get the holiday gifts out, or maybe you need to launch a new website. But something that you need to that you want to work on in your business, something that's personal to you. You could also go the more personal in your life route. And since I'm asking you all to be vulnerable, you probably didn't expect to come in here and write down something that's bothering you or that you need to solve. So I figured that I would also engage in the exercise. And I have to say, when I was talking about this earlier, I was like, oh, it's pretty intimidating to share a challenge with so many amazing women, but I'm going to do it anyway. So my challenge that I'm going to overcome, that I'm going to work through with all of you, is my husband and I have an 11-month-old baby, which she is the absolute light of my life. She is pure joy, and never knew I had so much love. I didn't know that could happen. So with having a child, I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm a mom, which is exciting. I'm a business owner, and I'm also a wife. So with those, I have to say that my husband and I have gone on all of 4 dates in the past 11 months. So that's totally a challenge. So the challenge that I'm taking on to work through is that I'm vowing that we're going to go on 10 dates in the next 6 months. For those of you that are single, that probably doesn't seem like a big challenge, but trust me, when you're married with a new baby, it is. So that's the challenge I'm taking on. So again, we're going to bring it through these three areas: the create, communicate, and activate, to make some difference in our lives. So now that you have those problems, hold on to them. We're going to take a few minutes. We're going to do some exercises. And we're going to come back. We're going to come back to that problem statement. So hopefully none of you are feeling like this lady when I said that everybody can draw. But if you did, don't worry. You're in good company. When I do workshops with organizations, people often feel panic when they're asked to draw people. But that actually, having the lack of skill or like not having the extreme detail when you're drawing people, can actually play to your advantage. So what is a really good way to soften a text message or create a positive tone in an email? Right. Or even less than that, 2 dots and a line. Just something so simple can actually express emotion. But why is that? Well, maybe Diane Deusser here can give us the answer. So hopefully you can see this, but Diane Deusser saw something very special in her grilled cheese sandwich, but not before she took a giant bite out of it. So does anybody see what she saw? Like, maybe the people in this section can see it a little bit. What do you see? A face? Maybe a more specific face. So it might be her face, it might be somebody famous. I've heard Madonna, I've heard Lady Gaga, but she actually thought that she saw the Virgin Mary in her grilled cheese sandwich. She saved it for 10 years, believing that it's talismanic. And she might not have been too far off, because during that time, she won $80,000 in a casino. And then she eventually put it up on eBay. And how much do you think she could have possibly sold it for on eBay? $100,000? Wow, that's a lot. Anybody else? $400,000? She actually sold it for $28,000. A half-eaten grilled cheese sandwich, people. So the point is that, like, we are neurologically wired to find meaning in abstract images or in abstract marks. So there's actually, it's so common that we see people's face, that we see faces and things, that there's a word for it. It's called pareidolia. And basically it just means the proclivity to see faces in just about anything. And it's actually the more abstract and the less detailed it is, the more universal it is that we're going to start to notice, put meaning onto these marks. So this absolutely plays to your advantage when you're drawing something. Actually, with ImageThink, we specifically make things very simple so people can read the image quickly. So, I'm going to prove to all of you right now that you all can draw. So, are you ready to take on this challenge? Excellent. Okay. So, first thing I'm going to have you do is draw 9 circles on one of the quadrants of your paper. You can go crazy. This is a creativity workshop. And then just make sure that there's a little bit of space underneath the circles. All right. So in each one of those circles, put 2 dots in the middle of each circle. I'm going to go fast, but I'll make sure you can keep up. So then between the 2 dots, put an angle, or maybe it's a greater than sign? What's a less than sign? You can do less than or greater than. So put an angle in between those 2 dots, and every single one of those, it'll look a little bit like that. Sorry if you can't see it in the back. And then in the top row, make a dash underneath the angle. A dash across the top row. And in the second row, make an upward arc underneath the angle. And then in the third row, make a rainbow underneath the angle. All right, you see where we're going with this? Yeah. Okay, now it gets to the more complicated part. On the left-hand column, put a dash above the two dots. In the middle, go ahead and make that upward arc again. And then in the last column, draw that rainbow up at the top. So, what do you have? Yeah, so that you've got a lot of different faces. And what do you see in these faces? Yeah, each one of these faces have a different emotion. So take a second and label what some of these emotions are that you see in each one of these 9 faces. All right, I'm going to have you shout out. So what's an emotion that for this upper right-hand corner? Worried. What was another one?
Remorse.
Frustrated. Remorse. How about this guy? Contempt. And how about this person over here?
Sad.
So we've got contempt, worry. I forgot what the first one was. Worry, contempt, sadness. Like, those are 3 different emotions. So congratulations, you just, with 2 lines, a dot and an arc, you just drew the entire spectrum of the human emotion. Did you think you could do that? You walked in that door? Well, congratulations. So, So drawing is a key to problem solving. It's the thing that helps us think most creative, or drawing helps us to think creatively and ultimately helps us to get into some problem solving. So why do we need to be creative? Well, to survive. That's why. At least that's what our ancestors thought, right? So they needed to be creative to figure out a way that they could hunt and get food for their families. They also needed to be creative in how they were thinking about a tool that then could communicate the processes that they learned about for hunting and gathering. So I'm really hoping that none of us in this room fear that we're going to be eaten by tigers. Hopefully. If there is somebody, I'd really like to talk to you afterwards because I'm curious about your life. So we might not be threatened by tigers eating us, but we are threatened by other things in our lives right now. There's talk about cybersecurity. There's an uprise in machine learning. There's emerging competition that's coming towards us in our business life. And so we need to have creativity to keep us on our game and in thinking about how we're going to overcome some of these challenges. So we have been absolutely fascinated by creativity as a species, right? We're like curious about what it is. We're curious about what stimulates it, how it maps neurologically to our brain. But it's not just researchers who are interested in creativity and finding out what makes us tick. It also happens in business as well. So it's actually, creativity is one of the key skills in both, it's considered to be an essential edge in both business and in leadership. And IBM actually went out and did 1,500 interviews with global leaders and found that 65% of them believe that creativity is the number one leadership skill. So pretty impressive. So how do we continue to be creative in our lives? Well, we have to practice it. We have to practice creativity. So Aristotle said that we are what we repeatedly do, that excellence is not an act, but it's a habit, right? So creativity isn't something that you just get overnight. You don't just wake up and say, oh, I'm going to be creative now. No, it's something you have to be really determined to move from point A to point B. But there's good news that when you do something repeatedly for, say, 30 days in a row, you start to create new neuropaths. And those neuropaths then start to create a habit. So one thing that I didn't mention yet, but I have a background as an artist. Then I was an educator, so I taught at the college level and elementary school. And then I became a facilitator, obviously. Obviously, I was a facilitator. So I am promising to give you some... I told you I was going to give you some tools. I'm also going to show you some techniques. But building on the educator part, I'm also going to give you some homework to do. And so your first homework assignment to ensure that you have creativity, that you practice and nurture every single day, is to do a 30-day drawing challenge, right? So when you're drawing, specifically like if you draw in the morning or you do something creative in the morning, you're basically priming your brain for creative problem solving for whatever comes up in the rest of the day. So there's only really three rules to this challenge. One is that I encourage you to do a minimum of 5 minutes every day. And so to create a new habit, what is really helpful is to layer it on a habit that you already have. So for example, I have a little whiteboard that's right next to my coffee pot. So when the coffee's brewing, I can take those 5 minutes and do a little sketch or do a drawing. So build upon a habit that already exists. The second rule is absolutely no judgment, you guys. Like none, no putting yourself down. You're doing this for yourself, and this is about idea generation. You're not allowed to evaluate these ideas. You're just there to generate it. And then the last one is you have to have fun. And the reason is because the best solutions come when you're having fun with a problem. All right, so you're going to take on the 30-day challenge. Who's feeling a little nervous about drawing every day? Okay, I see a few hands. I don't blame you. Looking at a blank slate can be very intimidating. But here's one of the tools that you can use. The first chapter of Draw Your Big Idea is all about some really simple drawing techniques that you can use to do sketch notes, basically. So you can draw absolutely anything using these five elements. It's a square, a circle, triangle, a line, and a dot. And you've already proven to yourselves that you can draw the full spectrum of the human emotion with just a line, a dot, and a circle. So just imagine what you could do with these other elements incorporated in. And so really what the trick, I don't think it's a trick, but like what the key to drawing is to start to see things differently, to start to change your perspective, and to think additively. So it's kind of like having a yes and approach to things. Who in here is familiar with improv comedy? Like you've either gone to improv or you've done improv. Oh my gosh, almost everybody, of course, because you're all amazing women leaders. So then you're probably familiar with the yes and, like the idea of yes and. So as a little bit of a reminder, yes and is, say for instance, it's when you're building ideas one upon another. Just like in the drawing, you have a circle, you're going to build onto the circle to make something new. So the yes and is, an example of that would be if Derek was saying, hey, I'm graphic recording on the moon. I'll be like, yes, yes you are. And we're all wearing tutus and dancing on Jell-O. So, you know, it comes up with a new idea based off of something. You're not allowed to negate anything with the yes and. It's additive. So now it's time for the next challenge, the next exercise. So we're going to go back to one of those elements and use a line. So I want you to make a mark on your page. You'll get it back. So make a mark. Make a squiggle. Like, don't think about it very much. Do it right now. Okay, stop. Whatever you have there. Now, switch it with somebody next to you, someone near to you, your new friend, your neighbor, your collaboration partner. Okay, so now you have a new squiggle. So look at that squiggle. What do you see? Apply a yes and to it and turn it into something else. Transform it into something else. So go ahead and do that right now. Whatever you see. I'll go back to this. So a square, a circle, triangle, line, a dot. All right, so what do you have? Oh, no, sorry, you can switch back. So turn it, give it back to the person you originally got it from, your new friend. Okay, what do you have? Okay, so what do you see? I can't see any of them, I'm jealous. So what do you have? What did you get?
A shoe.
Oh. A new concept for a shoe. Oh my gosh, you guys are ideating already. What did you get? A snail. What's another? What did somebody else get?
A broken necklace.
What did you say?
An octopus.
Oh my God. How about this section over here? A fish. A way in the back. A back corner. A face? Snake. All right. Excellent. Well, congratulations. You just turned nothing into something significant. So just as leaders are solving problems, successful leaders, like all of you in this room, you're going to shift your perspective and you're going to add to something to come up with something completely new and different. That's one way that you can bring creativity into your problem solving. So come back to your question. Remember I told you to hold on to it, to your challenge that you're going to be solving. read it over. So how could your challenge use a little yes and? How can your challenge use a little bit of creative thinking added to it? Is there something that you can add to this challenge? Is there a resource at this conference that you could gather that could really help you with this challenge? Or maybe there's somebody in this room, maybe the person sitting next to you that you just did the squiggle exercise with, maybe they have a reference for a book, or they could make a recommendation to you about, you know, somebody that you could talk to help you overcome that challenge. So apply the yes and to your own challenges and think a little bit broader about how you might go about creatively solving for that problem. So I promised that I would work on my dating issue. God, I'm like, you get married and you think that you got it all figured out, and then you don't. So new baby, lots of excuses. One, we're really freaking tired. My husband's working on the weekends. What else? Oh, we're always getting up super early. And then if we want to do anything, we have to get a babysitter. So, you know, and I've got a lot more, barriers to doing this. But if I apply my own advice and I put a yes and to it, all of a sudden those barriers become an opportunity. So if we're super tired, then instead of going out for drinks, guess what? Let's go for a coffee. Like if we're getting up really early in the morning, then we're going to go on a date earlier in the evening. And if we need a babysitter, like we need to get a babysitter, yes. And you know what? My mother would freaking love to fly in and take care of Pira for a weekend. So it's really beautiful that, you know, when you start to apply that yes and, those barriers can really become an opportunity. All right, so Derek, how's it going over there? So we've, reflecting on where we've been so far, we've talked about the five elements that are going to help you to tackle that blank slate. We've talked about a 30-day drawing challenge, which you're going to start practicing your creativity every single day so you are able to tackle some of those creative challenges that come up. And by applying a yes and approach, you're going to be turning your barriers into opportunities. So, let's talk about communication. So drawing helps us to clearly communicate ideas to our, you know, helps to articulate them for ourselves, but it also helps us to explain it to other people. And once you have, when you're communicating clearly, especially when you're working with teams, you're saving time and you're also saving money because there's less mistakes that are going to be happening. So we like to practice what we preach over at ImageThink. This is our progress tracker that we have in our office. This actually tracks, it shows us our pipeline of what's happening. It was actually not my idea, not Nora's idea, but we borrowed it from Scott Belsky's book, Making Ideas Happen. So if you're curious, check out that book. It's really good. It's about making ideas visible. So this has been a very important tool for us because when we come in, I can see instantly by looking up at the board what our pipeline is. I can see what you're looking at. They're actually metal sheets. They're metal sheets with magnets on there that are whiteboards. They're like little mini magic whiteboards that are magnetic. And so we write up the project on there. So instantly I can see what the pipeline is. I can see how, you know, where we are in the process. And then also I can see if the work is being evenly distributed between the account managers. We also did it because our graphic recorders, if they didn't have a sense of like, am I going to be in town this week? Am I going to be flying? Like, what does next month look like? So, and you know, Derek can come in. He can see like, oh crap, October is going to be really slammed. I'm going to plan my vacation for around Thanksgiving. So it helps to create transparency within our team, and it helps to keep our projects on track. So, contrary to popular belief, might think that the right side of the brain, like, oh, they're the free thinkers and they get to have all the fun, and then the left side of the brain, that's the linear and the detailed part. Well, when we are using drawing, we're actually activating both sides of the brain simultaneously. So why is this effective? Because 90% of the information that we received comes to our brains from a as visuals. In fact, when somebody draws or thinks about drawing, you're actually activating multiple areas of the brain, including the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex is important because that's where it gathers all of the information. That's where the problem solving happens. That's where the decisions are made, and that's also where our communication lies. So there's also a benefit to for me to have you draw while we're doing this talk, because by doing that, you're actually engaging much more highly in the conversation, and you're going to be more likely to remember everything that we talked about today. Okay, so this is an example of some work that we've done with one of our clients. I believe it was a focus group. And for those of you who can't see it, it's a SWOT. So it's mapping out people, the group's strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And what's really fabulous about mapping out ideas and capturing them visually on the board, like as Derek's doing and as we did in this slide, is that multiple concepts can exist simultaneously. And when we have those multiple ideas, we start to make our brains, just like we want to make a face out of two lines and a dot, we want to make connections between different ideas. So we're actually we're able to look at something and we're having much more holistic thinking. So we're starting to make connections between two different ideas. So when I pulled up this slide wanted to show you an example, I looked at it and I was like, one thing that stuck out to me immediately is that competition is listed in two different sections of this map. So in the strengths, it says there's no competition, and then the threats, it says that there's emerging competitions. So to me, that, I see that there's some conflict there that needs some resolution. That's an opportunity to dive in deep and come up with an action plan, because if there's part of the organization thinks that there's no problem, and the other part of the organization is like, hey guys, there's like a really big tiger at the back of the room and it's charging right at us, like you need to find a way to like bridge that gap. So that happens when you start to put things all up on one page versus having it drawn out linearly on flip charts. So let's go back to our problem statement, to our challenge that we have, and we're gonna try to do this for ourselves. So when thinking about your challenge, what are some tasks that you can do? What are some actions that you can take around your challenge to put it into action? So think about that for a little bit. Maybe just think of like three or five that you can come up with. So also when you're thinking about this, think about like where your strengths are with these tasks. I'm going to go back. So this is continue thinking and working, but if you glance up, this is a very simple quadrant that we have in the problem-solving chapter of Draw Your Big Ideas. By the way, the problem-solving chapter is the biggest one, and we cut it down by half. Because when you're taking on, when you're running a business or you're making changes in your life, you know that there's a lot of problems that you have to overcome. So this is a simple quadrant that we have. And so I'm going to invite you to map your tasks. You're going to have to draw this for yourselves. But map your tasks to this quadrant. So this one reads something that you love to do, and then something that's not so fun, that you don't like to do at all. And then it also is how easy or difficult it is for you to achieve that task. So we have easy at the bottom, super hard is at the top, hate it is over on the left, and then love it is on the right. So kind of map those out, and I'll talk about each quadrant too. So this specific quadrant is really great for you can use it for yourself or you can use it when you're working with teams. So one way, it's a way to like map out what all of the tasks are and what things need to be done. But then it's also a really great way to see what your strengths are and where the other strengths are with people in your on your team. So if you are finding that most of your tasks are in the lower left-hand corner where you don't like to do it, but it's really easy for you, you're kind of like, that's something that you can just let it go. You might be wasting your time there. There might be somebody else who could do these tasks for you so you can focus your energy in an area where you have more strengths and passion. So if you go to the upper left-hand corner and it's really hard for you to do and you hate it, then that's an opportunity to maybe, if you have your own business, maybe you consider bringing on a new partner. Or if you're working with a team, maybe you can find another person to come in that does have a strength in this area and an expertise, and it's very easy for them to do whatever that task is. So that side of is like, if you can delegate anything on that side of the chart, that's an area where you can start saving time. And then you can focus it on areas where you are thriving. So if you're in the area where it's really easy for you and you love it, great. It's like eating like ice cream every day. But eventually you're going to get burnt out on doing the easy thing that you love all the time. So just be careful if like a lot of your tasks are in that area. And then if you go up to the upper right-hand corner, this is your sweet spot. This is the area where you can become a master, right? So it's like, it's really challenging, so it's gonna motivate you and get you excited every day to do it. And it's something that you love, so that's the thing that like you pop out of bed in the morning, you're like, I get to go speak at the women's conference today, yes! But it might be something that's really challenging, so it might be an area where you hire a coach or maybe you take a workshop so you can call in help so you can really shine the brightest in this area. Okay, so remember we're mapping our challenges or opportunities, the tasks that we have. So I'm going to just choose one example. So the thing that would be the most difficult on my list of opportunities is to fly my mom in for a weekend to take care of my daughter. But when I mapped it out, I was like, well, clearly that's going to be the most rewarding thing. She's going to love it. Pira's going to love it. And then Liam and I can have a whole weekend to go hang out. So I'll tell you that after I did this exercise, my mom is coming on November 30th to come and take care of her. So I'm very excited about that. So look at your charts that you've laid out and identify one thing that you're going to do, that you're going to put action to, and tell it to the person next to you. So do that now. Commit to it. There's a lot of murmuring. Come on, pick one. All right, so good. You put that out there. You're going to be, you can exchange emails to make sure that you all are accountable to each other. So let's look at what we've just talked about. So we've talked about how drawing up your ideas starts to help connect things spatially so you can come up with more robust creative solutions. And we've also talked about how when you're drawing, you're communicating more clearly because you're activating all parts of your brain, and then the folks, if you draw something out for them, it activates their brain too, so they're going to understand it a little bit better. And then if you start to map out some of your tasks, you can start to look at and see how much work you have to do, where your strengths are, and then ultimately you'll be able to prioritize those tasks. So in fact, drawing is a powerful tool for helpful for communication. So the last section that we want to talk about is activate. So picturing success in your mind turns your ideas into action. So picturing that success turns it into action. So Sir Henry David Thoreau said that the secret of achievement is to hold a picture of success, of a successful outcome in your mind. And so when you're drawing, you are creating a symbolic visual of your goal. And that can motivate you in ways that simple text cannot. And then once you commit that crystal clear goal to paper, you're putting your idea in a small but powerful way, like out into the world. So it's very important to be able to crystallize your ideas and have them very clear in your mind. Yes? Sure, really quick. Okay, so the secret of achievement is to hold a picture of a successful outcome in your mind. So having that really clear vision of where you want to go. I can come back to it later if you want after. But nobody knows that better than our clients that we work with. So this is an example of one of our clients that work in technology. And I did a session with them. It was a 3-day session, the CIO strategy roadmap. And so their crystal clear vision was to build a world-class delivery organization that customers demand and that is envied by their peers and admired by their fellow workers. So having a very clear vision. And then once they had that incredibly clear vision, they broke it down into milestones that needed to be achieved. So let's go back to our problem statement and think about that. Think about what is a successful outcome for you that's associated with this challenge. Think about what that success looks like. Picture it in your mind. Feel it in your body. In 6 months from now, where are you going to be when you're feeling that successful? What's going to happen in a year from now when you've achieved this great success? Who are the people that are with you? Who are the people that are involved? And what are they thinking about your success? What are they hearing from other people? What are they saying and talking about? And what are they doing? Because you have achieved your challenge and you've put that success into action. So when I was thinking about my dating situation, it's important that I do this, and it's not just important because I want to have fun, but it's important because if I go, the success in my mind is that if I'm going out on these dates, I'm connecting more with my husband, which means that we're laughing more, which means that we're less stressed, which means that we're going to be better parents, which means that I'm going to take better care of myself and get better sleep, which means that I'm going to be a better leader for my team, and I'm going to do better at work, and it probably means I'm going to go to the gym a little bit more too. So it's a big thing. It can be just this tiny thing of going on a date, but it really trickles through and helps us to become better performers in the areas of our life where we really want to be. So Edward de Bono, he wrote a book called The Six Thinking Hats, which is another really great facilitation book. And he wrote that an idea that is developed and put into action is more important than an idea that exists only as an idea. So now we have very clear in our mind what your success looks like. We took it from this problem statement and worked it through. So it's a crystal clear goal. So now we want to put action around it. So this is an exercise called Chart Your Path. It's one of my favorite, actually it's probably my favorite exercise in the whole book. Now that you have the five elements, I know that you can draw this up very easily for yourselves. But if you still feel a little intimidated, you can always pick up a copy in the book or photograph the slide too. But this is the homework part, because this exercise can actually be an entire workshop in itself. So I'm just going to walk you through what it could look like. So when you have your big goal and your crystal clear success, you want to place that out into the future. So you're imagining it, you're imagining your success a year out in the future. And that what you want to do is create milestones and actions that you can take looking back at it. So you imagine your problem in the future, and then you think, wow, what did I do to create such success? What are the big milestones that I overcame to get where I am today in my future state? So you think about those milestones. And in this diagram too, we did the X marks the spot was the name of that quadrant exercise that we did. So in that exercise, we figured out what our strengths were. So you can map out those strengths on this path. And I like to think of it as that's kind of like your visual cheerleader. So when you come across those challenges and those barriers, because I know, even though I'm like, oh, my mom will come and take care of her, like, no, it's always going to be, there's no babysitter. There's always going to be, I mean, I'm really freaking tired. So if you start mapping those strengths, that helps you to overcome some of those barriers and think about creatively solving your problem. So this is what I created for my goal of 10 dates in 6 months. So I'll just talk about one area. So the first milestone that I want to overcome is actually, it seems very simple, but it's important. It's scheduling the days on the shared calendar. That's my very first step to doing that. And so I have, I'm sorry if you all can't see it, but I also have an owner to it. So I'm going to be owning it, and I put a deadline to it. So in a week from today, I'm going to have those 10 dates on the shared calendar. I also put some actions and tasks along to that, like checking our travel. I have to check what Liam's gigs are, sending out an invite to him, and then actually accepting the invite and making that all happen. So you can do the same thing with your milestones and chart out your actions there. And so just like the progress tracker at ImageThink, you want to have these visible. So you want to have, when you have your ideas mapped out, you want to have them up for your team. Either put a photograph of it up on your fridge, take a shot of it on your phone and have it the screensaver, or you can have it up in your space. It's great for doing daily check-ins that will help you to create your to-do list or your monthly progress trackers with your team. All right, so we are coming towards the end of our conversation. And Derek has a really beautiful, he's beautifully captured everything that we've talked about today. He's captured the yes and. We've talked about creating, communicating, and activating our ideas. If you want to have a copy of what Derek created today, you can send me an email at heather@imagethink.net. And please put DYBI in the subject line, draw your big idea, and I'll be sure to get you a copy of that. Heather@imagethink.net, draw your big idea. And so to close, I'll go back to that slide, but to close, Edward de Bono also said that creative thinking is not a mystical talent. It's a skill that can be practiced and nurtured. So I've given you a lot of tools and that will develop into skills that you can practice and nurture your creativity every day to start to draw your big idea. So thank you very much.
Wow. Thanks. Thank you, Heather, for your amazing insights. It's been a wonderful presentation this morning. But now it's our audience's turn to talk, and it's time to open up the mics for some questions. So if you'd like to pose a question to Heather, and don't be shy, please line up. We've got microphones around here, and we'll take you one at a time. While people get up there, Heather, though, do you mind if I ask a question? I'd like to know, what is your top tip for beating creative block?
A top tip for overcoming a creative block. I think it is just sitting down and actually doing something, like putting action to it. So the squiggle exercise is actually a really great one to start playing with. You can do it with your team or you can do it on your own, just as a way to start thinking differently and give yourself a little bit of a break.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, we've got a question over here.
Hi, can you hear me? So I was wondering, do you have any tips for using this in the workplace, like with your employees or, you know, boss? You know, maybe, you know, we've never done this. It's pretty closed off to
Sure.
It's not very creative, so what would be some tips to incorporate this with your team?
Well, I think a lot of the things that we did today, the question, or you can hear it because of the microphone. a lot of the exercises that we did today, you can actually start incorporating with your teams. Everything that's in the Draw Your Big Idea book is our exercises that we've done with our corporate clients. That's where they came from. For example, the squiggle exercise is a really great one to do with teams, like right before a meeting. You can have everybody, you know, do that very, it's a 1 minute exercise. It gets people laughing and excited, and it starts to elevate their thinking into more of a creative space. So that's a very quick exercise that you can do with your team.
Would you recommend having a whiteboard in like every meeting, you know,
Absolutely.
And writing out everything?
Yeah, we at ImageThink, and then also when we're working with our teams, like we draw up everything. Because it's a really great way to be able to make sure that what is being said is what is intended to be communicated.
Okay.
It also helps people to align, and everybody is seeing the same vision.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, we've got a question over here.
Yes. I know lots of folks in the workplace, again, I'm thinking mostly, but it could be applied in personal life as well, are big on making lists and using words to break down some of the concepts that you're explaining here. What do you find in terms of adding the element of drawing to it is the add-on, is the positive?
Yeah, so adding on images to your lists. Oh, absolutely. I forgot to mention that I'm doing a book signing right after this, so if you're interested in coming to that, I can get you a book too. But to answer your question for the list, so to put an icon or something like that next to your bulleted list, it goes back to like when you're drawing something, it's activating different parts of your mind, so it helps to increase the memory of the experience that you're having. So for instance, in my notes that I've made for today, I've made illustrations for different concepts, so I can look at that drawing very quickly and know what the meaning was and what the content was. And so it's a faster way to process the information. It also it helps you to remember things, to have the visuals next to it. And then also you can start to use like the smiley faces. So if you start to use the emotions that you created in the faces exercise, and those become your bullets, it can be an indicator of like, we want to move on with this project, or we want to hold off on this project. So you can use the images to actually be a way to communicate and prioritize the information.
Thanks.
Yes.
All right, we'll jump back over here.
Hi. We just recently did our 2018 goal setting with our team, and we used vision boards.
Excellent.
Talk to me a little bit about the pros and cons of doing the vision board versus the actual drawing.
Sure. So what I understand vision boards to be is where you take like cutouts from a magazine and you kind of put them together to start to visualize that idea. So that's essentially the same thing that we did with crystallizing our idea. We're kind of imagining what that future state is going to look like, and we're trying to picture that success. So it's great for doing that. The next step in that is to start to put action to that success.
Right.
So like look at that vision of the future and then break it down into steps of what you need to achieve. So that's where the chart your path comes into really be very helpful.
Got it. Thank you.
Now, before everyone worries, we're scheduled to go 5 minutes over, so we've got a few more minutes in case you're worried about the next session. We'll jump over to this question over here, waiting very patiently.
Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. So my question is, my team is predominantly virtual, so it's global environment from India, and I'm thinking, how can we use this in a way that we keep it in front of everybody, but everybody has the ability to make changes to it and update it and make it something that's actually being used instead of just a stagnant.
Good question. Virtual teams. We do a lot of illustration work and like video work with our clients, where we constantly need to be showing them what we're doing. You know, ideally they're sitting down next to us, but that's just not how our world works anymore. So we use tools like GoToMeeting or you know, something where we're able to share our screen is one way that we do it. So we can actually speak to what we're both seeing. With some of those, it's only your own, you need to share the screen share. But there's a lot of other tools that are starting to come out. Like Cisco has a new product that's called the Spark Board. So it interacts. It's a giant screen, but then it also has an iPad and a phone app. So I can be sitting and looking at the presentation that you're giving, and I can draw right onto that that presentation. So it's an interactive tool. Google has something that's coming out that's going to be interactive like that as well. So I'd keep an eye out for those products.
Okay. Yeah. So the area that we've been focused on in Houston was a war room, which is very, very stagnant. So we get a lot of people in the room, then everybody goes off, and then there's mm-hmm. no way to really continually keep it moving and updating. So we'll have to look at some of the other tools. But right now there's not. What I'm hearing is you don't really have a way to do that either, as far as a solution.
Well, we do screen sharing, and then also, you know, we've been playing around with the Spark Board as ways to share virtually in real time.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. I think we have time for one last question, if it's a quick one.
So, at my office, there's kind of a culture of drawing on PowerPoint, so boxes and whatever.
Yeah.
Is available there. Is it better to actually physically draw? Do you get some benefit from that mentally?
Yes, there is. That's a great question. There is a great benefit to actually physically drawing onto the PowerPoints. And the first reason that I can think of is that when you're drawing, you're activating four or five different learning modalities. So you're listening to the conversation that's happening around the PowerPoint. You're reading what's on the page. You're using your kinetic energy to like draw and actually feel the pressure of the pen on the page. And then you're also taking in any sort of like emotional responses that you have to what's being said at that time. So by using all of those, you're actually, by drawing in that context, you're learning in several different ways. So again, you're going to be processing the information differently. You're going to remember it longer. And it's going to have an impact for yourself and the people who are there with you.
Okay, thank you.
There's another thing, too, about PowerPoint that's really interesting is that when something's in a PowerPoint and it's presented like, you know, it's presented like this, it feels very finished and done. But when we're drawing something like this that Derek's doing, you feel like you're able to engage and participate and collaborate more.
Wow.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. And what a great discussion, don't you all think? Yeah?
Thank you very much.
I'd love to thank you all for coming today and being part of the discussion and listening to Heather's message. Thank you, Heather,
for sharing
your experience and your advice. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to get going with your techniques. Yeah. I think they're going to be game-changing. So thank you. So shall we give Heather one last round of applause? Yeah. Now, please note, as Heather said, she'll be signing copies of her book in the exhibit hall immediately after this session. So thanks very much. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.